you. All I have within me, Lord, I give you praise.
Hallelujah.
All that I adore is in you.
Oh, Lord, I give you my heart.
Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, oh Lord. Every, yes, every moment I'm awake. Lord, have your way. Oh Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you, oh Lord. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake. Yes, Lord, have your way. Oh, hallelujah.
Lord, we give you our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. We bear our souls to you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the author of life, the giver of every good gift. Oh, we worship you tonight, Lord. We come tonight, oh God, with boldness into your presence, oh Lord. Oh, we come as sons and daughters of God. Oh, we have access tonight to the blood of Jesus. Oh, we have a promise, oh God, that where there are two or three gathered in your name, oh God, you are there to bless. The prophet of God told us that God is supernatural. And where God is, the supernatural is. Oh, we expect the supernatural tonight, oh God. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We plead tonight for the blood of the Christ of God and the Holy Spirit upon us tonight. May you speak to our hearts, oh God. We're not here to see men, oh God. Oh, we're here to hear from the Holy Spirit, Lord. Oh, may the anointing break every yoke tonight. May you strengthen our faith tonight, oh God. May we be like the men, oh God, on your way to Emmaus. As we leave this place tonight, may we cry in our hearts. Then our hearts burn within us whilst he spoke to us tonight by his word. Father, I'm nothing, oh God. I consider myself the least among the brethren. I don't even consider myself a preacher, Lord. But I pray, oh God, I'm depending on you, Lord Jesus. That inspiration that you laid in my heart, Lord, may you take me out of the way, God. And may you come down and speak to your people, oh God. I thank you tonight in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. Don't look at me. If you do, you're going to be disappointed. Hallelujah. But there's a thought that God laid on my heart. I want us to look at it tonight. I'll try to not be too long. Last time I did this here and took a little bit. I'll try my best, but let's see how the Lord leads. I want to speak on a little subject called the sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. I want us to turn in our Bibles to Genesis 1, and then we'll read one verse, scripture verse, and then we'll jump over to Revelation 1, 8, 11, 18. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Hallelujah. Are you glad to be in his presence? Amen. Hallelujah. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, period. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 1. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It's one thing I've been praying for today, asking God for, is inspiration. Because I want to be able to bring it in the fashion that the Lord gave it to me. With the inspiration that I receive, I want to be able to express it the same way. Hallelujah. Amen. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1. It says, he says, this was John speaking when he was on the island of Patmos, when he had that vision. This is God speaking. He says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, said the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Then we jump to verse 11. We'll just read a portion of that. Well, let's start from verse 10. John was speaking. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Amen. Then we jump over to verse 18, and it says, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Amen. I wish I was a preacher. I'm telling you, because the way I feel on the inside with this subject, I wish I can express it the same way. Hallelujah. Amen. The sovereignty of God. Hallelujah. Amen. That word sovereignty means supreme power or authority. Hallelujah. Supreme power or authority. We go back to Genesis. This was Moses speaking. Moses said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. We don't know how long that took. But the question I started to ask myself is, was Moses there when God did the creation? Where was Moses? How did he know that? We know that Moses wrote the first five books of the Bible. He said, in the beginning, God created. That is sovereignty. There was nothing. Hallelujah. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Period. Now, the Bible tells us in Amos 3:7, he said, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but first he will reveal his secrets to his servants, the prophet. So I believe God transported Moses back in time. Hallelujah. God took Moses from where he was. He took him back to the beginning. And then Moses saw what happened. And he wrote, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Sovereignty. We don't stop there. In our day, God sent us a prophet. Hallelujah. Who took us before the beginning? Hallelujah. Amen. I want to read a little quote here, what he said in a message, who is God? This is your prophet speaking. Remember God's law. Surely the Lord God will do nothing but reveals his secret first to his prophets. You can't change it. That is sovereignty. That is God's way. No matter what man says or does, that's how God does it. God is sovereign. I preached a message here the last time called Ironclad. God's word is ironclad. It's rock solid. It cannot be broken. Whatever God says, period. You can't change it. Whether you like it or not, that is sovereignty. Hallelujah. In the beginning, God. Brother Branham said this. He said, now let's think back 100 billion years ago. Just imagine that. And he said, and then take back 100 billion years before that and just keep going back. Hallelujah. He said, but let's think of before there was ever anything, there was God. Before there was anything, there was God. He was in the beginning. Hallelujah. He said, let's see him and picture him out there in space. That's Jehovah we're speaking of. Hallelujah. Remember, our subject is the sovereignty of God. The purpose of this message is to increase our faith. We've been in this message too long. We've quoted the prophet too long. But it's time to live the message. Brother Branham said, I have to have faith in what I'm doing. I have to know, what I'm doing in order to have faith in what I'm doing. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, he said, he that cometh to God must believe. So in order to have faith in this supreme being, we have to know who he is, what he's made of. to have confidence in him. Hallelujah. So the prophet is taking us back. Before there was anything, there was God. Before there was an atom, there was a star, there was a sun. Before there was nature, before there was creation, there was God. Hallelujah. Bible calls him Hebrews 13:8. Before he was known as God, Bible says he was the self-existent one, Elohim. Supreme authority. Now Moses is telling us this one, in the beginning, spoke when there was nothing. He created heavens and earth. But we're going before the beginning. Hallelujah. You see, God is revealing himself to his children. The world knows nothing about this. It took a prophet, took that ego anointing to take us back before the beginning. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's keep going on. He said, Jehovah, we're speaking of. And watch how the Trinity of God comes to man just a moment. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, and there, that great space where no one can fathom in their mind, beyond that, still going back. Hallelujah. That space, eternity, Jehovah God out there. Hallelujah. And where, and we're taught in the beginning that the Logos, or the Son of God, went out of God. Hallelujah. Before there was any angel, before there was anything, that was God. First thing that happened, Logos, God gave birth. Basically, God changes form from invisible to visible. The Word, the Logos. Hallelujah. God gave birth to himself. Or the Son of God went out of God. So he said here, so he first was God, Jehovah. And out of him, let's just picture now as a little drama so you can get it. Let's see, coming out of the space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light, like a halo. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Hallelujah. God changes form from invincible to visible. Hallelujah. That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning, was the Word. Now, how did Brother Branham know this? Brother Branham wasn't even there when Moses was around. Hallelujah. But you see God's pattern. Surely the Lord God would do nothing. If God doesn't give you revelation, there's nothing you can do. Sovereignty. See where I'm going with this? The sovereignty of God. God's love for his bride is election. We are sitting here tonight because before the world began, God ordained that you will be here. That's why you're here. You might have had plans last week, said, well, I might not be in church tonight, or this will happen or that will happen, but you're here. Why? Sovereignty. Hallelujah. God says you will be here. That's why you're here. Brother Bram said, why do we see this message? He said, because we're ordained to see it. It's not by might. It's not by power. It's by God's grace. God's foreordination. Hallelujah. So there's nothing to brag about. It's election. God said he will have a bride. He said, my word cannot go out void. It will accomplish. Ironclad. That's the God we said. Sovereignty. Whatever God says will come to pass, whether you like it or not. Yesterday I was at work and I heard on the news, and they were talking about Donald Trump, how him and the president of North Korea, he was arguing with them, throwing words back and forth. One says, I have nuclear bomb. Mine is better than yours. Mine works. And it just took me back to the Word. The prophet talked about the four angels that are holding the wings. Nothing will happen. You don't have to be scared of nothing. Nothing is going to happen until the bride leaves the earth. Hallelujah. The bride of Jesus Christ is the grace of God to the world today. Hallelujah. That is sovereignty. Hallelujah. Let's keep going. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He said that was what was in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us in the beginning. Let's go down. Hallelujah. Now he says, and in there, now see, this is just like a child playing before the door. It was the Son of God, the Logos. And I can see him out there. And he spake and said, let there be light. Hallelujah. The prophet said there was nothing. He said, but there was something happened. And an atom turned there and began to whirl around this way. The sun began to come into existence because he said, hallelujah, let there be. He said, that's the authority. Supreme authority. You know, brother, I'm talking about the baseball game. He talked about the umpire. No matter how good a player is, no matter how the people can argue, or if the umpire say you're safe, that's final. If he says you're out, you can argue all you want. We have today the laws of the land. We have the Supreme Court. Whatever the Supreme Court says, that's final. Regardless of how you make sense or who says or what, when the Supreme Court says anything, that's final. God is a supreme authority. Whatever God says is final. Hallelujah. No matter what people say to you, no matter how they condemn you, if God says you are my bride, that is final. Brother Branham says in the message Position in Christ, he said when you're born of the Spirit of God, he said you might do things wrong. He said when you do anything wrong, you're going to get paid for it because you will reap what you sow. He said, but that has not one thing to do with your salvation. He said, when you are born of the Spirit of God, you are a son of God and can no more die than God can die. Because God lives in there. So you can have confidence tonight in this God we serve. You can walk with pride. The prophet of God said, don't be scared of nothing. You don't have to fear nothing. Whatever happens in the world, whatever, what difference does it make? You know who you are. When Moses went before Pharaoh, he didn't say, oh, please, Pharaoh. He said, thus said the Lord God of Israel, sovereignty, let my people go. Pharaoh had no say in the matter. The Bible says God hardened Pharaoh's heart. I believe God did that to prove to the world that he's in charge. Now, according to the scriptures, the people in Egypt, they honored the Pharaoh so much that they considered him a god. But when the death angel came that night, the Bible says God have no respect of person. If you didn't have that blood on your doorposts, your firstborn was gone. From the firstborn of the Pharaoh to the servant, everybody was wiped out. God is the final authority. Hallelujah. God swore to Abraham by himself that he would give him a son. It didn't matter. Now, let's look at Abraham's life. God called this man called Abraham and promised him to be a father of nations. Now, normally, you know, young people, okay, yeah, we know God would do something. That's the human mind. But because God said so, that settled it. It didn't matter how Abraham felt about it. It didn't matter how Sarah felt about it. God said, you will be the father of nations, period. Look what they went through. But at the end of the day, what happened? Exactly what God said happened. 25 years later, when they were old, when it was so impossible, it didn't make sense. I believe probably even the servants and friends of Abraham were laughing at Abraham. But the Bible says against hope, he believed. Because Abraham knew the one who made the promise. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. It pays to believe God. This thing we're doing is not a joke, friends. You got to come to the place to take God at his naked word. Because the word Jesus said that I speak is spirit and it's life. The letter kill it, but the spirit and the spirit of God is dwelling with the bride today. It's the spirit that quickens the word. The word comes to the spirit. So when you feed on the word, the spirit is coming to that word. And when he comes to that word, he's going to quicken that word. He said, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. Take, for example, the testimony of Brother Branham. He talked about that mountain with the seven peaks. Look at the sovereignty of God. I'm asking God to help in the flow and the inspiration. Look at the sovereignty of God. When did God put that name, that mountain there, that seven peaks? Go back to Genesis, you find out. When God said, let the dry land appear, he wrote William Branham's name right there. Before there was the United States. Before there was anything. When the dry land appeared, before Adam was created, God wrote the name William Marion Branham. Hallelujah. Amen. He was thinking of you and me. Before even Malachi, when he prophesied, God wrote the name of the prophet. Sovereignty. Brother Branham said, he said in the same message position in Christ, he said, Jesus didn't give us our inheritance. He said, Jesus only came and paid for our inheritance. He said, God gave us our inheritance. Inheritance was first. Names on the book. Look at Satan. Go back to Eden. The Bible says the lamb was slain before the world began. Before Adam was created, God knew he was going to sin. God made provisions. Satan thought he was smart. He was destroying the plan of God. But he didn't know he was in the plan of God. Because the lamb was slain before Satan was created. He wasn't there. This whole thing is about God and his family. He has the blueprint. When a builder is going to build a house, he give him the blueprint. He's following the blueprint. Brother Bram told us God had desires. This thing is a play between God and his kids. That's all it is. Brother Bram said you never became a Christian. You always was. You just recognize it. In non-seed, there is no quickening. What pulled you to this word is the deep. The call to the deep, and the deep will respond. Some people, the prophet said, no matter what they do, they'll never make it. I want you to see the sovereignty of God and trust God in your life. Hallelujah. This thing is not churchy. We're beyond church. This is about God and his family. Amen. Jesus Christ didn't die for the whole world. It is not God's will that any should perish, that all should come to repentance. But all will not come to repentance. The prophet said only the elect can be reborn. Those that were in the beginning, the thought of God. Amen. Brother Bram said, if your name is on the Lamb's Book of Life, you will walk in the light. You will see the light. God will reveal it and you will walk in it. Sovereignty. God is not sitting back in heaven and hoping, I hope these people believe the message. No. Name's on the book. So it's time for you to have some confidence. The devil can't do nothing to you unless what God allowed it. And it's a purpose behind it. Who called Satan's attention? It was God. Satan was going to and fro trying to find his stuff to do. God said, have you considered Job? And why did God do that? Because Job had a question. He said, when a man dies, shall he live again? So God wanted to reveal something to Job. Hallelujah. Oh, God is wise. But in order to get that revelation to Job, he had to do something. Job had to go through something to get the revelation. So he got Satan's attention. Everything was fine with Job. He was having a good time. Have you considered my servant Job? The devil's like, ooh, another opportunity. Look at God. God said, you can do whatever. Don't touch his life. Satan can only do what he wants, what permission God gives him. Amen. Brother Bram said, everything that serves God's purpose will come in the resurrection. Amen. It's a finished work. This is just the rerun. Why am I standing here today ministering? The sovereignty. That's all it is. So you must have some confidence in God. This message is reality. God is a being. God is a being. He is real. If God should open our eyes now, we'll see. He is a being. He's not an idea. Excuse me. I was talking the other time. I mentioned in my prayer about mustard seed faith. I like that when Jesus told the disciples. He was saying something. The prophet explained it. Jesus said, if you have a faith of a mustard seed. Now, mustard seed is the smallest seed I think there is. Smaller than my small finger. And Jesus said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say, can you imagine a mustard seed moving mountain? But the prophet said, the thing with mustard seed is, in its form, it's pure. No mixtures. You can't add, it's got to be the raw faith. You take God at his naked word. A brother was preaching, I heard a minister one time, he said, only believe. If you want something to happen, it'll happen. Just paraphrase, you have to only believe. Don't just believe. But you got to get to the place to only believe. You have no other option. That's all you have. Only believe. That's the faith God's looking for. Prophet of God said, only believe. When the angel of the Lord met the prophet, he said, if you can get the people to believe, all Brother Branham had to do was get the people to believe. That's it. And when he did his part, God did the rest. But God knew he could do it, and God equipped him for the job. Sovereignty. God knew he could do it. That's why he told him. Basically, it was a command. In other words, go get the people to believe. So the prophet was anchored in that word. So when he stood behind the pulpit, there was no fear. Because he wasn't going on his own merit. This is God now. Abraham believed God because he knew who God was. God said he would have a son. It didn't matter anymore what Sarah said. You see, Abraham was the one that was having the encounter with God, not Sarah. So Abraham got to the place where he knew this God, what he says he does. So it didn't matter who said what, who did what. Look, when Abraham went to Egypt, he got in trouble. He even lied. But look at God's sovereignty. God even changed the name from Abram to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, father of nation, mother of all, something like that. And when they went to Egypt, the king in his honesty, but that's their tradition, tried to take the wife of Abraham. Even though Abraham lied, but God had promised Abraham that he would be the father of nation and he would have a son to Sarah. So how can another man take Sarah and kill Abraham? That is not going to happen. Even though in the era of Abraham, but God was guiding his word. Brother Abraham says, God cannot lie and be God, and he is God. God cannot lie. Whatever he says one time, that's it. Settles it. That's the God we deal with. Jesus said, he that heareth my word, the pure word, and believeth it, hath eternal life and will never come to the judgment. You got to believe that. Because it cannot be changed. There's no maybes, there's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. God said so. I believe it, that settles it. He that heareth my word. There are so many people hearing the Bible, but they're hearing like man's interpretation. God interprets his own word. How did Moses know what happened exactly? Because God revealed it to him. How did William Branham know the truth? Because God revealed it. So it's not, Brother Branham said, look at Brother Branham's attitude when he went beyond the curtain. He said, I preach what Paul preached. Look at Paul. He said, the words that I speak to you is not kind of divine. I didn't receive it from man. So Paul had confidence. Paul can rebuke Peter that had the keys. He was a prophet. But the word, what did the prophet say? Stay with the word. Stay with the word. The word will take you through. Our attitude towards God's word has to change. God is no respecter of persons. Peter said, when Peter preached on Pentecost, the man said, men and brethren, what can we do to be saved? He said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. That's God's order. Whether you like it or not, if you want to make it to heaven, you better toe the line. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Acts 19, Brother Branham called those guys Baptists. Apollos was proven by the scripture. You see, sometimes the thing we think that impress God doesn't impress God. God is only moved by his word. There are principles to everything. Look at Paul. When Paul came and met those guys, Paul wasn't impressed. He said, oh, glory to God, hallelujah, proven by scripture. It didn't make, what did Paul say? Have you received the order? Remember when Jesus met that woman at the well? He said, God is a spirit, and they that worship God must worship in spirit and truth. Where did God place his name? In Christ. How do you get into Christ? Brother Bram said, by one spirit. He said, water baptism inducts you into the fellowship. Holy Spirit baptism does you into Christ. Brother Bram said in another quote, he said, nobody's going in the rapture without the Holy Ghost. You must be born again. You're a Christian by birth. Coming to church does not make you a Christian. You are a Christian by birth. The prophet said you're believing unto eternal life. He said, but when the Spirit comes, it is eternal life. Bible says in Revelation, let me read that. It's one of my favorite scriptures. Revelation chapter 20. Can you turn with me to that? Revelation 26. Hallelujah. Amen. Revelation chapter 20, verse 6. Can you read that for me, Brother Tom, please? Hallelujah. Amen. Blessed and holy is he that had part in the first resurrection. So who has part in the first resurrection? In the message, I think it's question and answers on the Holy Ghost. Someone asked Brother Brandon this question, and he replied. He said, the Holy Ghost filled people is the first resurrection, the elect. The Bible says that he that had not the Spirit of Christ is none of his. But if the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, then he that raised Christ from the dead will quicken you by his Spirit. This gospel is supernatural. There is one faith. There is one gospel. This is how I look at the message. The message is the interpretation of the Bible. The message is the revelation of the Bible. The message is the explanation of the Bible. Who can explain the word but the altar? And God always uses prophets. That's his order. That's why when Christ came, he came as Son of Man, the God prophet. Hallelujah. Sovereignty. You need to have confidence in his message, folks. You know what? Brother Bram says healing is the children's bread. He's preached a message called Be Certain of God. People are not certain of God. He said that prophet said, I think in the message, as I thought of my ways, he said, it's not that there is no balmy Gilead. It's not that God doesn't heal today. He said the people won't take it because they're scared. And why are they scared? The Bible said faith comes by hearing the word. People are not laying in the word. That's why people get easily carried away. The word is the Urim Tumma. The prophet said in the old days, in the days of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, the breastplate of Aaron with the stones, and that's the Urim Tumim. If someone claimed to have a prophecy or message from God, how do you know it's of God? Now there's nowhere to tell. They bring you to the Urim Tumim. You say your prophecy, whatever you have to say. If those stones light up and reflect the rainbow, it's of God. If it doesn't, no matter how wonderful it sounds, it's not of God. The Urim Tumim today is the word. God is sovereign. There are principles. You see, for me, Christianity, like before I received the Holy Spirit, when I hear the message, like minister all the blessings of God, but I used to think it's for those in Christ. My problem was now, I don't have a problem with the blessings. I rejoice with that. But my concern is, if I'm not in Christ, take for example, there's heat in this room. There's light in this room. There's comfort in here. All the nice things are in here. If you're out the door, no matter how you claim hallelujah, you know, it's nice in there. But if you're not in here, you'll be standing out in the cold because the blessings are in the building. So the most important thing is to get into Christ. To get into Christ. Jesus said, no man comes to me unless my Father draw him first. He said, and him whom the Father give me, no man can pluck him out of my hand. And I will give him eternal life. I will raise him on the last day. Sovereignty. God's love for you, church, is election. So when you're going through stuff, don't think God don't love you. You got eternal life, then you can no more die. Look at that thief on the cross. Sovereignty. His whole life, he was a thief. He was a robber. He had no, if you look at his background, there's nothing to be impressed. And because of his ways and what he's done so many years, his whole life, he paid for it on the cross. But look at the sovereignty of God. This man recognized something. Two thieves, one on the right, one on the left. Christ in the middle. The one on the left started criticizing. If you be the Son of God, save yourself and save us. This one on the right, don't you fear God? Now, what made him to say that? What did he see in this Jesus that this other guy didn't see? You go back to the DNA. See, gene of God. Something caused him to recognize the word. Why did he make that statement? And he wasn't playing. And then why did, to prove that he was a seed of God, why did he ask Jesus to remember him? If you know, for example, I'm a poor man, I can't help you, why would you ask me for a brand new car? You know, I can't afford it. It don't make sense, does it? You have to know that I have money to know that I can afford it. Then you can ask because you know it will be done. So he had to recognize that this one on the cross is supreme authority. Because why accuses Jesus, a normal man, he's already dying. So what favor is he asking? The man you're asking, he himself is dying, you're dying. So what can he do for you? But it was something more than that. He recognized something. Hallelujah. Amen. And listen to Jesus' reply. He said, today, not someday, today you will be with me in paradise. Supreme authority. Where is that thief now today? Cloud of witnesses. God in simplicity. The prophet said the way up is down. We got to wake up, people. It's nice to go through the routine. But you must come in contact with God. Yes. The Bible says, Enoch walked with God. It didn't say Enoch went to church. He said, Enoch walked with God. A Christian walks with Christ. Amen. That's what makes you a Christian. That's your anchor holds. It goes beyond coming to, you see, let me give another example. Going to the hospital will never make you a medical doctor. But the medical doctor goes to the hospital. Yes. But if you want to be a medical doctor, you have to go through the process. So when the doctor is at home, he's still a medical doctor. If he's in the market, if he's at Stop and Shop, he's still a medical doctor. If he's driving in the traffic, he's still a medical doctor. Why? Because he went through the process. But the hospital is where he works. Coming to church doesn't make you a Christian. Amen. But a Christian goes to church. Amen. But you're a Christian by birth. Jesus said, come unto me. He didn't say, come to church. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I, supreme authority, I will give you rest. I am that I am. Ezekiel saw him wheel in the middle of the wheel. We read the scripture in Revelation. I am the first and the last. We heard what Brother Branham said about him, the last prophet. Before there was anything, he stood there. He said, let there be supreme authority. That word couldn't go out void. Ironclad. The prophet said, I think it took hundreds and hundreds of years. Something when that light came into being, a clicker broke off.
And he was standing there for billions of years. It was falling. And then he says, stop. So if the one that can speak that word and the word of the click of for billions of years and it stopped, how long did it take? 25 years? It's nothing. Now look at Sarah's attitude. Abraham, this thing is I believe you, but I don't think it's going to work. So just take my handmaid. That's how we reason. You see, we got faith. Faith, we use faith every day. When we stood, we prayed, we read the word, I said, be seated. Nobody investigated the seats before they sat down. You just sat down. That's faith. And if you had sat down in that chair and the chair had fallen and broken, you would have questioned why. Because it's not supposed to happen. That's faith. Everybody's got faith. You go to the doctor, he says you got 6 days to live. The word of God says by his stripes you were healed. You put your faith in it. You got God's word and you got doctor's word. Who do you believe? Believe the doctor. So your own faith takes your life. Be unto you according to your faith. You believe you would die in 6 days, so you die. Because you don't believe God's word. But you stand better chances if you take God at his naked word. The one, you see, that's why we're talking about who he is. The Bible says he that cometh to God must believe. Not them that come in. He, individual, must believe that he is. Look at that centurion. He recognized supreme authority. He recognized that supreme authority so much that he himself didn't even feel worthy to go to Jesus himself. So he sent the Jews, at least they're religious people. And even when the Lord Jesus accepted to come to his house, he said, I'm not worthy. What caused him to say that? He recognized who he was. This is not an ordinary guy. So he even gave example. He said, I'm under authority and I have people under me. When I say go, go, come, come. So you speak the word, supreme authority. Hallelujah. And it will be so. Look at that woman. I was thinking about her today. The lady with the issue of blood. What faith? 12 years. 12 years. But she got to the place. I think her faith was even stronger than the centurion. Because look at her attitude. She recognized in her spirit supreme authority. She didn't say, if I can go so he can pray for me. She believed that he's got so much power that even his clothing was powerful. I don't need him. I don't need to get his attention. I don't need to, I just need to touch the hem, not even his garment, just the hem. Look at that faith. She recognized something. If I can just, and when she recognized to show that she really believed it, she went, finish action. She really believed it and she got into action. Her faith pulled virtues out of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Look at blind Bartimaeus. Thou son of David, have mercy. Jesus was so far he couldn't hear him literally. But his faith. When people say, be quiet, he shouted more. Why? Something on the inside. Supreme authority. He recognized. Be it unto you according to your faith. He that heareth my word. Brother, this thing is serious. He that heareth my word and believe it. No matter what. The people can say whatever about the prophet. That's their problem. Brother Branham did what he had to do. He left the scene. God don't clown for no one. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. He knows the end from the beginning. What a man sow, he will reap. We got to be Christians, friends. It's a life. We try to live it ourselves. We try to do it ourselves. Just surrender to Christ. You can't live this thing yourself. Look at Balaam and Moses. He came to curse Israel. He was looking in the back of the camp. He was looking at the people's faults. But Moses had a pillar of fire. You can't curse what God has blessed. He tried to curse them, but he couldn't curse them. Sovereignty. God has sovereignty over your life. So if you're warring from today, stop it. We all do that. We need to stop being practical. Paul says we are written epistles. You think Paul was playing with words? He's talking about you. Brother Branham called you bride. Was he playing with words? Where did Brother Branham get that idea from to call you bride? It's the angel of the Lord. Sovereignty, friends. That's why I keep saying in this church, somebody in this church is going to rapture. You think Brother Elijah is preaching for nothing? He's not. This man is called of God. He's a man just like us all. We all know him. But he's got a gift. God placed something. The man was born for this purpose. Bible says God placed in the church some prophets. A minister of the gospel is born with the gift. Moses was born a proper child. Look at Moses, what he did. He tried to escape. He couldn't. Look at David. Saul had plans for David's life. But God had different plans. David had to be king. That's why those Gentiles, the Bible referred to them as mighty Gentile warriors. Because they saw something. This guy had the anointing. God anointed him. He will be king, whether they like it or not. Whether Saul liked it or not, David will be king. Look at David facing Goliath. What did David say? I come to you in the name of the Lord. David wasn't dependent on himself. It's God. Sovereignty. Your position is your power. You don't have to come for prayer when you're sick. Speak the word over yourself. The prophet of God said, you speak the word, God will make your body obey your confessions. You speak the word. He told Moses, why are you crying? Speak. Why do we toss ourselves back and forth? Prophet said, if you want to see angels, you want to see supernatural, lay in the word and prayer. They cannot be, they're waiting on us to recognize. If the bride surely realizes who she is, the rapture is out. Who's the bride? Sometimes we don't even consider ourselves bride. We listen to any thought that is contrary to God's word is Satan. Remember that from now on. Any thought that comes to your mind that is contrary to this message is Satan. No matter how wonderful it sounds, no matter who says it, if it's contrary to the word of God, that is Satan. So when thought starts coming to your mind, then you can shift, you can decipher it. Resist the devil and he will flee. The Bible says, no weapon that's formed against you will prosper. No means no. He said, whatever you ask him, this is God speaking. He said, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. These signs shall follow them that believe. This is the message. The prophet left the saying. It wasn't a prophet that was doing the healing. Brother Bram said it himself, it is not me. But sometimes we still wish if the prophet was here. He was just a wave sheaf. God just used that one man to show example that this is where Jesus himself demonstrated. Remember when he spoke to the waves? Peace be still. That's our position. That's who we are. That's what we are. That's the message. The message of Malachi 4. That's what we believe. The message of Malachi 4 is the word of God. He said, I am the Lord, I change not. God will never change his mind about you. It's time to start recognizing it. It's time to start taking God at his word. Start exercising your faith. Amen. If you get a little headed, just lay hands, pray. Try it. If you don't get healing today, do it tomorrow. Keep believing. But start from somewhere. You have the authority. You don't need Brother Elijah to come and pray. There should be testimonies. There's stuff happening. What are we doing? Brother Elijah spoke here last time and said that sometimes the angels just standing in one place. We're not doing nothing. We got to change our thinking.
Yes.
Let the mind of Christ, let this mind be in you that was in Christ. Amen. I hope we got the point. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. The Bible says the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord is encamped round about them that fear him. For whom God did foreknow, he predestinate. God cannot predestinate you and change his mind tomorrow. You see what I'm, this body is unbeliever. Paul said, I beat my body in subjection. That's why we do a lot of stuff, is the body. Paul said, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? Oh, wretched, this same prophet of God that met the pillar of fire, how can he be a Christian filled with the Holy Ghost today and tomorrow? He called himself a wretched man. The things that I would do, I don't do. The things I don't want to do, I find myself, oh, wretched man that I am. Then at the end he said, I have run the race, I have won the prize. What is he talking about? Brother Ben talked about the sticky nature. We focus too much on the sticky nature. Speak the word of God over yourself. Speak the word. And God will perform it. Lay in the word. Stay with the word. Walk with Jesus. Don't look at your friend. Walk with Jesus. You walk. The Bible says a righteous man falleth 7 times. Rises again. Before he started falling, he was righteous to begin with. And it's not his own righteousness. It's God's righteousness. You never did it. He that is born of God does not commit sin, unbelief. You never did it in the first place. What do these things mean? We're not of this world. Let me read a quote. I was just reading back there what the prophet's saying. I hope this is a blessing to you. Amen. If I could do backflips, I would. Hallelujah. Amen. This is Brother Brenham. He says, for in his name will the Gentiles trust. See? The Gentiles will trust in his name. Amen. He said, in other words, the bride, the call out of the Gentiles, the general group, will be trusting in the name of Jesus Christ. In his name shall the Gentiles trust, the call out ones. Who are the call out ones? The ones that believe the word. Jesus said, you can't come lest my Father draw you. You can't believe this message if God don't reveal it to you. So stop overlooking yourself. You don't have to be a preacher to be a believer. You don't have to walk quiet or sit quiet to be a believer. You're a believer by birth. It's election. If you don't feel you have the Holy Ghost yet, ask God. Brother Brown said, only the elect will be reborn. So if you don't think you have it yet, and God's called you to this word, look at the disciples. Oh, our time is flying. I said I wasn't going to be long. The disciples, Jesus, 500 before he took off. He said, go to Jerusalem and wait for the promise. 380 did their own thing. The minority, 120. The Bible said they were afraid of the Jews. So it was a problem for them to go to Jerusalem. But because they believed the promise so much, they went against their normal feelings. Whatever happens, happens. I don't care, but I'm going to Jerusalem. The Bible says, Brother Bram said, God didn't tell them to go to the upper room. He said, go to Jerusalem. But they were afraid of the Jews, so they went in the upper room and locked themselves. Now, God didn't tell them when the power was coming. He just said, go and wait. The Bible said they were in one mind, waiting for this promise. First day, nothing happened. Second day, nothing. Third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, nothing. Oh, but they were still there. I'm not leaving here till this promise comes. 8, 9, 10. The Bible said when the day of Pentecost was fully come, prophets said they were not kneeling, they were not praying, they were sitting. Something happened. God cannot lie. After that experience, they were not scared no more. They went outside in the courtyard and preached the gospel. God promised in Joel 2, 28, he said, I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That's ironclad, sovereignty. Remember, whatever God says, he cannot take back. Brother Bram said, God cannot lie and be God, and he is God. So you can rest on the promises of God. You can read the Bible, read a verse, read the message, take what Jesus said, believe it. It's your faith in the finished work of Calvary that will bring the result. It's your own faith. That woman, how she got her healing, her own faith. Centurion, he wasn't even believing for himself. He was believing for his servant, not even his children. If you don't believe it, your blessing will just sit there. That's all. Sometimes we believe it, we go through stuff. We suffer for nothing because we're scared to take God's word. But God, there's a principle. Brother Bram talked about laws of electricity. He said there's so much electricity in the field that it can light up the field without them lights. But you have to work according to the laws of electricity. He said you can stay and scream electricity light. It will never happen. He says the same thing with God. He said, I've never seen it fail. God will work as you follow his laws and instructions. The right mental attitude towards any promise of God will bring it to pass. So what are we doing, friends? Forget your brother and sister. Start taking God at his word. When I received the Holy Ghost, I wasn't in the church. I remember him. Let me give a short testimony. I can keep going on. Hallelujah. When I was in Africa before I came to the States, I just came to the message. And we went somewhere to some brothers. It's the first time I gave a testimony before that I heard demons call me a son of God. Somebody was demon possessed and demons were saying a lot of things. And God has vindicated this message to me, so I know this message is supernatural. Let people do whatever they want, say whatever they want. It don't make no difference. Because those things, God did that, I believe in my early stage, to anchor me because he knows the kind of person I am. He knows my maker. So I started seeing the supernatural all around me. And I remember in that, this sister was demon possessed, and she was saying, like, pray for yourself because Satan was a scary thing for me. Satan's coming now. That day the pillar of fire came in the room. And the Spirit of God got on the young, older brother. He was a deacon. And the Lord said, it just reminds me of what Heather Wright. The Lord said, ask what you will and I'll give it to you. I heard that with my own ears, my own eyes. I was there. Not someone told me. And I remember what I asked for was the Holy Ghost. Because that was the one thing that I was always looking for. Years later, came to the state. Years later, I got to a place where I got really desperate. We used to have men's prayer meeting at my house every Saturday. Brother Shaw and the other brothers that would come. And I remember that Friday night, I was up probably all night praying, begging God for the Holy Ghost. Because I know, no token, no heaven. So I must receive. But I got to a place where I don't forget that. I forgot that promise. But God is sovereign. And I prayed that night. I prayed, I cried, I begged. Nothing happened. But I was just there. And the Saturday evening for the prayer meeting, Brother Elijah came, usually would come to get us, you know, sing and everything. Before we pray, he will give exhortation, and then we get together and pray. Brother Elijah, that evening he came, he spoke on Pentecost. Wow. Can you imagine how I felt sitting there? Hallelujah. Brother Elijah got done giving the exhortation. We got together to pray. I remember kneeling down, right, my old house. Kneeled down on the fireplace, was going to pray. I just knelt down, saints. I just raised my hand. God already knows everything. Something got a hold of me. For the first time, I was free in my life. Hallelujah. Talk about freedom. I've never seen. I used to be worried about the Holy Ghost. I was having heartburn. That's how bad it was. Because for me, it was serious. But, you know, I used to lead songs and everything, come to church. But, hey, this is the promise of God. I must have this Holy Ghost or else if God doesn't give it to me, I'm lost. Bottom line. And that day, God came to me. For the first time in my life since I was born, I was a free man. God is faithful. God is sovereign. So you got to get to a place where it's got to be you and God. Forget I'm in the message. Forget. You got to take God at his naked word. God is watching you. He made the promise, he'll keep it. God's word is yea and amen. But you got to mean it. You got to mean business with God. Everyone, every individual that comes to God, you got to come to that place. It's you and God. It can be anywhere. It can be in your car, the church, house. But you got to get to that place. Brother Bram said you got to come upon grounds. This message is real, friends. This message is real. It's supernatural. But God has an order. God has principles. You got to follow it. You can't tell God what to do. You got to come. Come humble yourself. You got to come God's way. He's faithful. He's faithful. Sovereignty. Sovereignty. If any time the enemy try to bring thoughts to your mind that you're not going to make the rapture, that's just contrary. If it's contrary to the word of God, don't accept it. The Bible says when you whatsoever you have need of when you pray, believe that you receive it and you will have it. This is God speaking. That's how Abraham believed God, with Abraham's seed. Abraham took God at his naked word, even though it didn't make sense. But he still believed God, and because the thing was, is the one who made the promise. Yes, right. It's that simple. So you must have confidence in God. Have confidence in the message. Because of the one who brought the message. Not the prophet. It's God. Prophet is of the sin, but the angel of the Lord is here. May we stand in place. Amen. I hope it was a blessing to you. I know I went a little further, but I believe we got the idea. So you take God at his word. Don't overlook nothing. Don't be scared of anything. Just believe God's word. What he said, just believe it. And you see the hand of the Lord. He says in Malachi 3, you know, try me. God is asking you to challenge him. Try me. You know. Amen. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, Lord. Thank you for your word that came forth. Father, I did the best I could to just go in the inspiration that you give me. I pray, oh Lord, that the word that came forth, if I said anything that wasn't according to your word, forgive me. Or may I not have expressed it the way I should, forgive me, Lord. But I pray, oh God, that you would take this word. You say your word will not go out void, but it will accomplish. So may you take the word, may you quicken it into our hearts. God, may we get to the place to take you at your naked word. May we get to the place to stand on your word, oh God. For your word is yea and amen. You are faithful. You are waiting on us to take a step. Oh God, you are right with us, Lord. Help us. Give us that. Increase our faith, Lord. Increase our confidence as we hear the word of God, that we will start acting on it. Not just talking about it, Father, but acting on it. That's when we get results, when we start acting. May you fill everyone here that's not filled with your spirit. Fill them with your spirit. Those that are sick, may you heal them, even those that are not here. Father, may the supernatural come in this assembly, that it'll be a testimony, Lord, in this New England, that God is here in Amazing Grace Fellowship. We remember our precious pastor. We pray, God, that you will help him, that you will strengthen him, oh God. We pray that you will bless him, bless his family. We pray, oh God, that you will keep him safe, protect him, oh God. We pray for every son and daughter of God in here. We pray that you will begin to manifest yourself to us and reveal yourself in a supernatural way to your people. Thank you once again for speaking to our hearts, we pray. We commit the rest of this week and our life into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Brother Tom, you take the word. This is my desire, to honor you all. That I take.
That's a wonderful message that Brother James, I don't know. I don't know what Brother James thinks about being a preacher, but I sure saw one up there. I don't know what the definition is, but I sure saw something there. So don't believe him about that. I'm just thankful for the gifts within this local body. And I'll tell you something. I've been praying about certain things and stuff like that. And Brother Elijah texted me and said he wouldn't have anybody for tonight's service. And he mentioned about getting somebody to speak, somebody on their heart. And it was Brother James. So I believe that there's gifts within this local body that just need to be exercised. And we just need to be confident in what God's doing. It doesn't make us any different or anything else. But each and every one of us has an ability that God's given us. And we need to see what that is and have the confidence and the boldness in it to allow him to work. And it's just like Brother James. It's God. He's ordained it. So this Friday, there's a, you may be seated. John, who's come here, a friend of Brother Mark's, his grandson, is it? Or a friend? Okay. But his grandson comes with him, right? Okay. Yeah, his grandson. You might see him in the back here. Is he a young fella? The older gentleman come here, John, and his wife. She came with him. And his grandson's come. He's a very kind of withdrawn young man and stuff like that. His father was in prison. He got out of prison, and he ended up ODing and passing away. They're having a funeral service here Friday night for him. 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock. So if you want to support that family and just come out, they're going to have a cup bite to eat back there or anything else. But Brother Elijah won't be able to be here. Brother Mark's going to do some of the worship service. Sister Ann's going to be here. Sister Ruth and Brother Josh, by God's grace. And we're going to try to support it too. Just to, they're going to have somebody do the service. The body's not going to be here, but they're just going to have a memorial type of service. So that's this Friday at 7 o'clock. Just let's see what God's going to do. This young boy needs our support. You know, he needs our prayers. What's his name? Nathan. Lost his father and, you know, he's had a hard life. So let's just remember him in our prayers. And you know, I just know that God isn't in one spot. Everybody thought that you had to go to Tucson or Arizona for the rapture and all this kind of stuff. Brother Green used to joke about that. But I know coming from Ontario in a ministry there that every time we came down here to visit, God would speak the word to us. He would speak exactly what we were fellowshipping in the car. And now it's the same Holy Ghost. Our God is an awesome God. So let's just rejoice, and let's just sing one more hymn, and God bless you, Brother James. That was very good. I could tell you some things that I was doing on the, you know, it's just, God just vindicated the message tonight in so many ways, and he does it all, you know, all the time with a different ministry, and it's just a blessing, brother. So I want to encourage you, because I'd like to see you back up here. And God is good. Let's,